Now, when I looked about the quarterdeck for someone having authority in order to propose myself as a candidate for the voyage, at first I saw nobody. But I could not well overlook a strange sort of tent pitched a little behind the mainmast. It seemed only a temporary erection used in port. It was of a conical shape, some 10 feet high, consisting of the long, huge slabs of limber black bone taken from the middle and highest part of the jaws of the right whale. Planted with their broad ends on the deck, a circle of these slabs laced together mutually sloped towards each other, and at the apex united in a tufted point, where the loose, hairy fibers waved to and fro like the topknot on some old Pottawatomie sachem's head. A triangular opening faced toward the bows of the ship, so that the insider commanded a complete view forward. And half concealed in this queer tenement, I at length found one who, by his aspect, seemed to have authority, and who, it being noon and the ship's work suspended, was now enjoying respite from the burden of command. He was seated on an old-fashioned oaken chair, wriggling all over with curious carving, and the bottom of which was formed of a stout interlacing of the same elastic stuff of which the wigwam was constructed. There was nothing so very particular, perhaps, about the appearance of the elderly man I saw. He was brown and brawny, like most old seamen, and heavily rolled up in blue pilot cloth cut in the Quaker style. Only there was a fine and almost microscopic network of the minutest wrinkles interlacing round his eyes, which must have arisen from his continual sailings in many hard gales, and always looking to windward. For this causes the muscles about the eyes to become pursed together. Such eye wrinkles are very effectual in a scowl. "Is this the captain of the Pequod?" said I, advancing to the door of the tent.
"Supposing it be the captain of the Pequod, what dost thou want of him?"
he demanded. "I was thinking of shipping."
"Thou wast thou? I see thou art no Nantucketer. Ever been in a stove boat?"
"No, sir, I never have."
"Dost know anything at all about whaling, I dare say, eh?"
"Nothing, sir. But I have no doubt I shall soon learn. I've been several voyages in the merchant service, and I think that—"
"Merchant service be damned! Talk not that lingo to me. To see that leg? I'll take that leg away from thy stern if ever thou talkst of the merchant service to me again. Merchant service, indeed. I suppose now you feel considerable proud of having served in those merchant ships. But, flukes, man, what makes thee want to go a-whaling, eh? It looks a little suspicious, doesn't it? Hast not been a pirate, hast thou? Didst not rob thy last captain, didst thou? Dost not think of murdering the officers when thou gettest to sea?"
I protested my innocence of these things. I saw that under the mask of these half-humorous innuendos, this old seaman, as an insulated Quakerish Nantucketer, was full of his insular prejudices and rather distrustful of all aliens, unless they hailed from Cape Cod or the Vineyard.
"But what takes thee a-whaling? I want to know that before I think of shipping you."
"Well, sir, I want to see what whaling is. I want to see the world."
"Want to see what whaling is, eh? Have you clapped eye on Captain Ahab?"
"Who is Captain Ahab, sir?"
Aye, I thought so. Captain Ahab is the captain of this ship."
"I am mistaken, then. I thought I was speaking to the captain himself."
"Art speaking to Captain Peleg. That's who you are speaking to, young man. It belongs to me and Captain Bildad to see the Pequod fitted out for the voyage and supplied with all her needs, including crew. We are part owners and agents. But as I was going to say, if thou wantest to know what whaling is, as thou tellest ye do, I can put ye in a way of finding it out before ye bind yourself to it past backing out. Clap eye on Captain Ahab, young man, and thou wilt find that he has only one leg."
"What do you mean, sir? Was the other lost by a whale?"
"Lost by a whale? Young man, come nearer to me. It was devoured, chewed up, crunched by the monstrousest parmacetti that ever chipped a boat. Ah!
I was a little alarmed by his energy, perhaps also a little touched at the hearty grief in his concluding exclamation, but said as calmly as I could, "What you say is no doubt true enough, sir, but how can I know there was any peculiar ferocity in that particular whale, though indeed I might have inferred as much from the simple fact of the accident?"
"Look ye now, young man. Thy lungs are a sort of soft, d'ye see. Thou dost not talk shark a bit. Sure you've been to sea before now, sure of that?"
"Sir," said I, I thought I told you that I had been 4 voyages in the merchant...
Hard down out of that! Mind what I said about the merchant service. Don't aggravate me, I won't have it. But let us understand each other. I have given thee a hint about what whaling is. Do you yet feel inclined for it?
I do, sir.
Very good. Now, art thou the man to pitch a harpoon down a live whale's throat and then jump after it? Answer quick.
I am, sir, if it should be positively indispensable to do so. Not to be got rid of, that is, which I don't take to be the fact.
Good again. Now then, thou not only wantest to go a-whaling to find out by experience what whaling is, but you also want to go in order to see the world? Was not that what you said? I thought so. Well then, just step forward there and take a peep over the weather bow and then back to me and tell me what you see there.
For a moment I stood a little puzzled by this curious request, not knowing exactly how to take it, whether humorously or in earnest. But concentrating all his crow's feet into one scowl, Captain Peleg started me on the errand. Going forward and glancing over the weather bow, I perceived that the ship swinging to her anchor with the flood tide was now obliquely pointing towards the open ocean. The prospect was unlimited, but exceedingly monotonous and forbidding, not the slightest variety that I could see.
"Well, what's the report?" said Peleg when I came back. "What did you see?"
"Not much," I replied. "Nothing but water. Considerable horizon, though, and there's a squall coming up, I think."
"Well, what dost thou think, then, of seeing the world? Do you wish to go around Cape Horn to see any more of it, eh? Can't you see the world where you stand?"
I was a little staggered, but go a-whaling I must, and I would, and the Pequod was as good a ship as any. I thought the best. And all this I now repeated to Peleg. Seeing me so determined, he expressed his willingness to ship me.
"And thou mayest as well sign the papers right off," he added. "Come along with you."
And so saying, he led the way below deck into the cabin.